I just want to say at the beginning of this part of the show that I think Google Chrome is the crappiest of all the search engines.
It's
It wouldn't
always
even
Safari.
I yeah well I use Safari or Firefox. They're much better at everything. Google Chrome this morning, one of the reasons we started late was because it kept asking me for permissions on things,
Oh,
and
yeah, it
I
does
had
do
to
that.
change settings. It's so fucking irritating. Like, all the others just seem to have their shit together. Like, come on, Google. They have brought
It's.
out something called CLI, which is apparently a phenomenon for work. Like, if you have a lot of busy work documents, presentations, paperwork to do, apparently the CLI is going to change everything. It was only launched, I think, a week ago, and people are raving about it. So that's worth something, if you want to check out something new and you do a lot of that kind of work, you may want to check that out. But otherwise, Google seemed to. They seem to be kind of slipping a little bit, if you ask me.
Yeah, they've
Yeah,
gotten
I
comfortable.
always hate the permissions thing. It's like it doesn't trust you. It's like you've been you for the last 20 years with these
Yeah,
people, and they're still like,
right.
is this you? You have
Yeah,
to log back in there, so-called
exactly.
Ben.
I've had this laptop for like
Got security.
5 years or more. In fact, I've probably had it for 8 years. I'm like, come on, Google, you know it's me. You could. I don't need permissions. I am the permission. Shut up and do what you're there to do. Anyway, to start off our morning, here's a bit of show and tell. I haven't found anything really, really, truly exciting to add to my collection of shit that I've got all around my house. But this is cool. I found a rock when I was in Mpumalanga a while ago. Remember when I took that weekend away and went with family? And I found this rock. This thing is almost perfectly pyramidal. Look at this. Yeah, you see
Wow.
that?
Okay.
Like a
That looks like
pyramid-shaped rock.
it's like a
Isn't that
really old piece of
incredible?
Toblerone.
Okay. Where did you
It's pretty
get that?
fucking wild, right?
Like, I know you
Isn't that
said
awesome?
Mpumalanga, but like, where?
And it's actually shaped like this. It has a completely flat base. It's fucking cool. Like, I think that's just shows you. You think you've seen everything, and then you see something like this, and that's pretty amazing. I mean, that's almost an equilateral triangle, right? So, yeah, when people tell you they've seen a square on Mars or they've seen a face on Mars, like, I'm sorry, just go to Mpumalanga, guys. You'll find plenty of things that look like they could be, it could have been made only by men. This is natural. This is totally natural. No one's filed or sanded or touched this, and it looks pretty damn good if you ask me. So there we go. All right,
I'm
interesting stuff.
impressed.
Well, to some of us. Let's talk about something that is interesting and also very painful. Sims, we know about the petrol price going up because government needs to exact more of our cash out of our pockets at gunpoint. All tax is theft. Hadmin says not only that, you can't get a straight answer from Google. It always gives me news sources and then it cuts off. Sorry, I can't see the rest of that.
Yeah, but they're trying
Okay,
to change
I'll get.
that.
I hope so, because otherwise search engines are also going to become a thing of the past. I've already started asking other applications rather than search engines when I'm looking for something. But to get back to the point, we know petrol's going up because they couldn't get the VAT increase. Now electricity's also going up. So essentially, even though all those parties made such a big fuss, do you remember about taking the government to court over the VAT increase? And then they won and government had to rescind its policy and start again. Well, all they do, like typical parasites, is they find some other part of the body they can leech onto.
Yeah, I'm actually highly upset about the electricity going up because electricity is a basic need, it's right up there with water. And the fact that like it keeps going up and that means you're getting less units for the same amount of money that you've been spending is absolutely ridiculous. Like you have to constantly top up and not having electricity is not an option. And I just also personally think they haven't done anything well for us to be getting an increase in electricity. Like, there's no reason why electricity should be going up. And yet it is. And it's not going up by like 1%, 2%, a 12 point something increase. Like, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money that you're going to be spending on electricity and now on petrol because that's also going up. So, everything, just everything is li in life is going up except.
I feel like we should almost pick different politicians to run the country. I just got the thought now. So
Okay.
I could be,
Yeah.
this could be clutching at
Quite
straws.
okay,
cool.
revolutionary, Ben.
But guys, maybe that's actually what should, maybe people, we should get smarter people to run the money. I mean, I'll look into it this weekend. You know
what? Okay.
But I think that could be an idea.
That's a breakthrough thought, Ben. And I wonder if anyone else has even thought of that, because that's quite something.
I mean, you're welcome to share it. As I said, I haven't looked into it properly yet.
Yeah.
But maybe it's what we should think about.
Yeah.
It's almost as if you shouldn't have people in charge of the money who've never made any money themselves in like running a little stall or a shop or having had a normal job. It's almost like those the people who've never done that should be the ones who are in charge of all the money.
Yeah, that's a good next thought. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. All right. I'm also a fan of people like professionals. Like if you studied finance, you must be the finance minister. Like it just makes sense. If you're going to be the health minister, you need to be a doctor. Like that's the basic minimum requirement. Because then you understand when they talk about certain terminology. And like when I didn't study finance, but there's different budgeting techniques you can use. There's a zero tax budgeting, or people know better than me. But I'm just saying is that those people work in that world and they know all about these things. And instead of just increasing the cost of living for like the everyday South African and the middle class, which is very much diminishing left, right and center, and we're seeing like unemployment skyrocketing. I think Stats SA came out with like there's been a 74,000 increase in people without jobs.
Wow.
In this first quarter compared to last year. And now you're increasing everything. It's just like you guys really don't want us to have money. You're not trying to build the economy because this is not how you build it. This is not how you get people to spend, because all I'm going to do is like, the last 100 rand I have is staying with me instead of spending it. And that's what you want. That's how you build
growth. Like, it's funny you say that, Simpiwe, but you know, we were talking about Javier Milei with Argentina's growth at 5.8%. He's an actual economist.
Yeah, you see?
He taught it at university. He studied it for years. He's written books about it. And look at that. You've got someone who's actually qualified and professional in something. And look, they're a minister of that thing and then a president. Wow, what miracles. They will never end. Surely these miracles will never cease. It's just incredible. Don't worry, says Dirk. The government will just borrow more money and leave the repayments for the next generation to deal with. Well, that's exactly what's happening. But that's also happening in America, by the way. They are looking at some serious debt problems. And many countries all over the world are just borrowing and borrowing, borrowing to pay for stuff that they actually can't afford. Now, speaking of borrowing and of trying to treat the symptoms rather than the cause, I put up a thing on Instagram yesterday which got a mixed reaction. And I'm going to test this out on Hanan. When we have Dr. Hanan on in a short while on Monday. But I wonder what you think of this. And I'd like to know what Ben and Simpiwe think. And also you can jump in on the comments too, because I'm sure that you have something to say about this too. So I put this up yesterday on Instagram. I said, I'm just going to say it. A lot of you are depressed because you should be. You don't do anything meaningful. You don't believe in anything important. And you add no value to other people's lives. Depression is your prescription. And SSRIs are not going to help you. Now, I know that sounds cruel, but you know, I was thinking about this with all these people who are claiming to be depressed, and some of them certainly are. And I know that depression's a real thing. We've always taken mental health very seriously on this show, and that's not going to stop. It's one of the reasons we have Dr. Hanan on. But I do think some people are like, I don't know why I'm so depressed. And then if you look at their lives, you actually inspect what they do on a daily basis. They are doing nothing meaningful. They kind of just drones who go to work and do the same thing every day. They don't feel any inspiration. They don't want to overdo the work because they're going to get paid the same anyway. So why work harder? They don't believe in anything. So they don't think, well, you know, if I got myself in shape, I would feel better. And then if I had the right chemicals running around in my brain and I had a body that was not operating at -15%, maybe I'd feel better. So they expect a drug to fix this problem for them. And the third thing, like adding value to other people's lives, and we've discussed this with Hanan before, if you are always looking inward, then you will be depressed. There is no difference in the mind and in electroencephalograms, the parts of the brain that light up when they test for depression are the same parts of the brain that light up when you deal with people who are constantly thinking about themselves. In other words, if you're always thinking about yourself, you will be depressed. And if you're depressed, it's probably because you're always thinking of yourself. But this didn't go down terribly well with everybody. I got a message from someone I don't know at all on Instagram after I'd posted this, basically saying, oh, you know, it became very me. I'll try and find it and read it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Because me.
That's the issue.
Yeah, I don't want to misrepresent anyone who's engaging with me on social media. But I did reply to this person and I said, well, you know, I'm not your psychologist. I'm not here to solve your problem. I'm just saying stuff on the internet, which doesn't make me important enough for you to react like that. This guy was like, oh, no, I'm on all these different drugs. And are you saying I deserve to be depressed? And I was like, first of all, I'm not your psychologist. Second of all, I don't know you. Third of all, you may have some other condition added to that, schizophrenia or something else that I don't know about. But it's amazing to me that your reply is as if I was talking only to you, as if I put this message out only to you. You're so self-absorbed that everything's about you. And then this person said something like meow, like I was being catty, which I thought was strange because I didn't direct anything at him particularly, but obviously it struck a nerve. Slippery Pickle says a little magic mushroom in the morning always turns that frown upside down. Yeah, well, okay, Slippery Pickle. Again, we don't prescribe anything except trying to live a healthy, happy life and trying to make a difference for other people. Because that does make you happy, tends to make you feel good. If you're doing things that are healthy, then
yeah,
usually you're a bit better off. Chomotsa says, some do use depression as an excuse. I agree. And by the way, if this doesn't apply to you, then maybe I wasn't talking to you. It's not all about you all the time. Know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, a hard pill to swallow is the truth, right?
And, always.
And like, even when you were reading that, I was like, ooh, okay, that's a tough one. But then you realize that someone needs to say it, right? We need to stop living in a world where it's okay, it's all right, your feelings are valid. Yeah, your feelings are valid, but your actions are not. And that's the truth of the matter. And people need to be accountable to how they actually show up and the actions that they do. You might be sad, okay, but it doesn't mean you need to be an asshole. Like, you might have had a tough day, but it doesn't mean that tomorrow you don't show up. And I think people use depression as an excuse to kind of be like, I'm depressed, so I'm not going to go to work. I'm depressed, so I'm not going to get out of, like, the bed. I'm depressed.
Not gonna try harder.
That's not an excuse anymore. And too many times people get coddled with the, oh, you're depressed? I understand. You know, it's fine. I'll drop everything for you. No, my love, this is the real world. You need to show up.
Well, they say the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right?
Yeah. And
I get this. I totally get it. Where people want to be, it's okay not to be okay. I think that's the worst fucking advice and stuff you can tell people nowadays, because it's just saying, you know what, it's fine. Let Jesus take the wheel. Whatever you. No, you must take the wheel at all times because you've been given a wheel. That in itself is an absolute blessing because you've actually got the wheel. And well, it's just people want to be compassionate, but sometimes I think in doing so, they create these other things that become actually more harmful in the long run.
Yeah.
And that's always a worry for me.
And tough love is still love, guys. Like, I can tell you that.
Correct.
Tough love is still love. Being told to get up and keep going, it's not nice in the moment. And even if you had to use like a fitness analogy where you are training for a marathon, the first time you're running, it's not nice. The first kilometer is probably the hardest. You're going to be out of breath. You're going to be like, you know, like, why did I eat all those donuts before this run? It's going to be tough. But at the end of the day, you're going to push through it. And when you finish that marathon, it's going to be worth it, right? It's going to be like, I did it. Oh my gosh, if I didn't push through this, I wouldn't be here. And that's the reality with life, is that life is still going to come at you every day, every hour.
Well,
and you have to push through it. That's it.
You know, you both kind of hit the nail on the head there in different ways. I think that it wasn't meant when, the reason I decided to write that is not because I was thinking of anyone in particular, but I walked past somebody in the shop, and I heard her saying to her friend, "I'm so depressed." And I was like, you know, there are people who are in wheelchairs. There are people who are facing all kinds of financial problems, like trying to pay for school fees and things, and they're desperate. They're really desperate. She didn't seem like she was desperate. She seemed like she was well-dressed. She's buying things in a shop, for heaven's sake. It's just a grocery shop, but she's there. And I'm sure that for her, it's very real. And I'm sympathetic to that. I really am. I think that there are people who have a very tough time because the chemicals in their head are just not at the right levels. And I get that. That's sometimes beyond your control. But it is amazing to me that people don't understand that sometimes you should be depressed. Like, it is correct for you to be depressed if things in your life are out of control. And what Simpiwe was saying is like this idea that it is your responsibility to fix it. Sometimes the body is telling you something because you need to hear it. If you were happy, you wouldn't hear that you're neglecting this part of your life or you need to pay attention to these things. It's almost like, no, in order to get you to reorient yourself, we need to make you unhappy and depressed. And that's what we're going to do. So all your nerve cells get together and they go, this is what you need. You need some depression. Do you see what I mean? So it's more like this is appropriate to what you're going through. Depression is the appropriate feeling to have. It's like if you're euphoric and you're excited, that's the appropriate feeling to have sometimes.
Yeah.
But we think that the default should always be happy, which is not right.
Can't be. It physically can't be. That's why, like, toxic positivity, I think, is so detrimental.
When people, you can do it, man.
Fuck off. Not today, I can't. But that's also okay. Like, I often have low days, and I've just got to the stage of maturity now where it's like, that's cool. Today's not my best day. But I'm not going to make anyone's problem, and tomorrow's going to be better. But also, don't fight it. Like, there's a reason, Gareth. Your point is actually so right. Figure out why you go into those little slumps, and bit by bit, you'll have less of them. Is it getting a dog?
Yeah.
Is it being less of a shit person at work? And that's another thing. It's like, you know, check in with your friends. But what if they're such shits that no one wants to check in with them? That's a reality check in itself. If you're feeling down and no one's checking in with you, maybe because you just offer no value to anyone's life. That's a reality. Yeah. That's not yeah. mental health.
You just reminded me of something Villalo used to say all the time, which was, everything in life is your fault. And it's not nice to hear, but that's the truth. Well, everything in life is your fault. And if you're unhappy about it, change it.
you say that, Sims, and that sounds kind of horrible, right? It sounds like super mean to say that to people. But I was having exactly this conversation with someone the other day. It's not necessarily your fault, but start with figuring out what your responsibility is in a situation. It might be other people. It might be circumstance. It might be the weather. It might be the government. It might be luck. It might be all kinds of things. We all look at our lives and go, how could this be better? Or how is it so unfortunate that I'm the recipient of all this cuck? But start with you and figure out like what your part is in it. And then along the way, if there are other people involved, you can get to them second, third, fourth. But right at the beginning should always be like, what have I done to end up in this situation? How can I remedy it before you start looking for an external locus of responsibility? I think that's probably a healthy way to go about things.
And fair, because it's not complicated. It's just, okay, all this looks like a whole pile of shit. Let's start with me. It's the simplest thing you could ever do. Like, it's the easier start point. It's not like, oh, I need to talk to 7 people to find out what the answer is. No, it's just start you. You live with you. You've got your own time. You schedule your own meeting with yourself. Easy.
Well, here's an example of someone who has this. They've managed to discern what the problem is, and they're going to fix it. But it became a problem for a lot of people. So this is a hurdler. You know, hurdles is where you run and then you jump over those things.
Oh, their life is literally an obstacle.
There we go. So this is it. Yeah. This guy's name is Chris Robinson. Overcame a wardrobe malfunction during the 400-meter hurdles at the Ostrava Golden Spike meet, where his shorts exposed him mid-race. Apparently, his penis kept constantly falling out of his shorts while he was doing the hurdles.
Big schlong, huh? Yeah.
Big schlong, small shorts.
Is there a video of this?
I'm trying to see the downside of the story, because nobody would have known this guy unless his schlong came out.
Despite repeated attempts to fix the issue while running, Robinson focused on the finish, narrowly winning in 48.05 seconds, just 0.06 seconds ahead of Brazil's Mateus Lima. So this guy's from Britain. No, America. Sorry, America. It was in Ostrava. But this is American Chris Robinson who beat Mateus Lima of Brazil. A great victory for Americans in terms of penis size, but obviously a very embarrassing problem to deal with mid-race.
So I don't buy this guy's story at all. When you're a hurdler and you get to a race, you've run the track a lot. You know what your equipment is. And if you're an elite anything, you know, it's not like, oh, my penis was all over the place. It's like, you're a professional. You know how to run with a schlong. Like, suddenly you're like, oh, I'm letting this one loose today. And you always trust, this guy's looking for something. Is this a Tinder
ad? Can we see the video? Can we just...
I don't know. Have we got a video, James? Have we got a video of that?
Oh, and, picture and by the way, something. I mean, can we just see?
Oh, shit. Okay. Wow. Really fell out there, hey? It's a difficult thing to see there, exactly, but...
Okay.
They do wear those very short shorts when they do things like hurdles. Obviously, you can't have the shorts down to your knees because they'll knock the hurdles.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not his first day. But like, and why is he lying down on his belly? Is that just like...
I don't know.
No, it's a decent
know.
Time. You
remember
for,
the pole vaulter in the Olympics? Remember that?
Yes, we will not forget
Canadian
him.
Or whatever.
His slung caught the bar, yeah.
Seems, I mean, like, you would think people were over penises with the amount of fucking porn you get on the internet. You'd think if people were really curious about penises, they could find enough of them, right? And it seems that, no, people have not had enough of penises.
No. And when it comes context up, is always key here.
When it comes up on sports, and we get to sport next, by the way, so if you've been waiting for that all morning, it's your lucky day. No penises there. As far as I can tell, Ben, but we'll get to that. But it just seems people can't get enough of this. So, guys, if you want attention, become a world-renowned super athlete who competes in, like, the Olympics, and you'll win a medal maybe, but what people will really remember is your penis. So just in case you know, just be a bit humble, because you think you're important to the world because you're the fastest or the strongest or the fittest or the quickest or the cleverest. No, it really just comes down to dicks. That's what will make you famous. All right. Now, let's get to some sport. Ben has already given us a little bit of a preview of the first Buck game, which is happening tomorrow. And everybody needs to get some sleep so they can pay attention to that the whole day tomorrow. Shitty weather forecast for Cape Town. But that's not going to stop people.
It's not, but it's going to stop the game from being the spectacle that you might expect from Barbarians match. Going through history, these games have been very tight to the Barbarians, but a very different context throughout. We've been playing them since the sort of like mid-90s. It's a decent side. But the interesting thing about this Barbarians team is just the names that they have compiled alone. I feel like they have it in for this weekend's commentator. Some people, do you want to run me through number 11 there?
I can't even see that far.
Jacob Ratumaitavuki Kniepkins.
Yeah. So that's quite a good one. Lester Fianga Naku. Yeah, it's a very exotically named. No, so because it's the Barbarians, it's a mix of players from around the world. So like the captain there, Peter O'Mahony, he is Irish. We've got Ruben van Heerden, who I think is just a rusty plant in the squad to learn things about people. So he's South African. Yeah, you got a whole bunch of people from all over the place. But the names of these people are just absolutely fantastic. Peter Omaga Jensen. Melvin.
Melvin Jaminet. That sounds like Hassan Kalinga. GPT.
Hoskins Satutu.
No, guys. Are these people real? Like
Lachlan Boschier. Yeah, it's
But no.
So it's a decent Barbarians team. I think they'll be competitive. But yeah, look, it's going to be heavy underfoot. Being Cape Town is pissed with rain the whole week, and I think tomorrow itself is also not going to be so great. First Bok team of the year is hugely exciting as well. So it's a pretty strong one. Of course, the Bok team is made up from people from all over the world. So we've got guys coming in from Japan that we haven't seen in a while. So in the back line, you've got Kirtley Orange, so we haven't seen him for quite some time. Cheslin Colby, Devin D'Alendi, JC Creel. And then, I mean, it's a strong back line. Hey, we've got Morne Krappies van der Berg. He's nicknamed Krappies. We worked that out this week. And then in the forward pack, you know, you got a couple of debutants coming in off the bench and starting. Asanati Nklabakanya, the Soak weighed 151 kilograms prior to coming into the Bok camp this season. And Rusty and the forward scrum coach have created a scrum farm somewhere in the Free State where the Soak's been pushing these guys through their paces through homemade like tractors and all kinds of other devices. And he's getting all the props to be super, super strong and in shape.
Sure.
He's making them run hills. They're doing farm labor. It's a thing, man. The Springboks are so, you think you've seen it all. You think you've heard it all. It's like every season they come back with something new. So Kamp Daandraad is this big story for the week because now the props are being put through their paces. So yeah, that'll be tomorrow at 5:10. The British and Irish Lions tour really properly kicks off tomorrow. So they played the Pumas, Argentina, last week, and they lost in Dublin. They're playing the Western Force, so that'll be a midday game around sort of 12 o'clock. It's in Perth. It's a pretty good weekend for cricket if you are into that. Currently, the Windies are playing against Australia. A whole bunch of test cricket going on at the moment. Of course, earlier in this week, there was a thrilling clash between India and England. Now, they play the big five test series. And England won that at home. They went all the way to day five. Oh. Really, really cool. But tomorrow, Saturday, South Africa starts a two test series against Zimbabwe. Now, I know that doesn't sound like much. It's Zimbabwe, but it's a really cool time for sort of like the fringe guys to get a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, South Africa is the world test champions of the test crickets, but they'll only start to defend from like October. They're going to go to Pakistan, then they're going to go to India, more like November, and then they don't play for like another 8 or 9 months.
Sure.
It's a bit weird because we don't play a lot of test crickets. But this weekend, we'll be in Zimbabwe, start of a two-test series, and a lot of fringe guys are going to come through and get a bit of a chance. So like the major guys who did so well, they're going to get a bit of a breather.
Mm-hmm.
Temba Bavuma obviously is injured, so he won't be playing this weekend. But after those two tests in Zimbabwe, we then play T20s against them. So if you are a massive cricket fan and you want to see what the next generation of Proteas stars are looking like, you're going to see them on display in Zimbabwe. So that's a pretty exciting thing to get into. Wimbledon starts next week.
Yeah, let's go.
So we get like the sexy tennis back because everyone loves Wimbledon the most out of all the Grand Slams. Everyone wears white. It's on grass. It's a vibe. So this week, outside of the rugby and outside of the cricket, of course, I know the FIFA World Club World Cup is still going on. Sundowns got knocked out, but we weren't going to talk about football for a bit. We're giving it a break.
Did they get knocked out in the group stages?
Yeah.
So they're only walking away with 2 million.
They won one, they drew one, they lost one.
That's three.
And that's just not enough to get through. Have me watching. Look, this whole.
And when you told us about that prize money and how it compares with the salaries of people in parastatals, I was pretty impressed.
It's huge. I mean, it's a really cool tournament in many aspects. It's just that there's just too much football. It's in a window where you need to take a break. And I think for like the big teams, it's a bit go through the motion-y.
Okay.
But for the smaller teams, not only do they get the chance to make the money, but they get exposed on an international stage, which means they could possibly be bought by bigger clubs.
Mm.
That's all you want, right?
Okay.
As a footballer, all you want is like a rich club to give you more money. You don't want to just sit here with the small onionas and just sort of kick things around. You want to go play big stuff. You want to go in Europe. And then that makes obviously the big contracts. So, yeah, that's also in the background. Of course, there will always be golf in the world. But a big thing this weekend is UFC 317.
Because on the card.
Oh, yes.
Look, the card's not incredible, but the title fights are. Okay, so we got Topuria versus Oliveira. Now, they are fighting for the now vacant lightweight championship because Islam Makhachev was the lightweight champion. But decent enough, Oak, he said, look, because there's a huge chunk of the year that gets taken by Ramadan, where the guys from Dagestan don't generally fight. The fight that he wanted would then mean he'd be inactive for so long in lightweight that he's decided to relinquish the belt and he wants to have the title fight against Jack Della Melena in welterweight. So that's his priority. So okay. Now Ilia Topuria has come up from bantamweight to be a lightweight, and he'll now take on Oliveira, who's been there, thereabouts. He was a title holder himself relatively recently. That's going to be an incredible fight. Topuria is an absolute breaking ball.
Can I ask you quickly, because I've never actually understood this myself, and I don't want to catch you on the back foot here, but I'm pretty sure you can pull this out of your memory. What are the different weight divisions? Because what is welterweight? What is bantamweight? And I know heavyweight must be towards the bigger side, but that's the only guide I've got.
I'm not so good on the – I'm not entirely sure on the weight. So heavyweight is basically 240 plus, or like 240 to 260. So there is a sheer cap. Light heavyweight is 205. Sorry, heavyweight's 225 pounds. Light heavyweight's 205 pounds. Middleweight is 185 pounds. And then lightweight, I think lightweight's 155. So that's – and this is all like the weigh-in weight. When they actually fight, they're never this weight. But to get a start point, that's what it is. So the lightweight guy is 155 pounds, which is what, 75, 78 kilograms?
Mm-hmm.
Welterweight goes up to 175, 160. And then middleweight's 185 that I do know. Strawweight's the smallest.
The lightest.
Those are the smallest, the lightest guys. And then you get flyweight. And then you get bantamweight. So the other
type. What's bantam, though?
So bantam is 145 pounds. So that's like early 70s. So flyweight. So the other title fight on the card there is Alex Pantoja, who is the current champion. He's taking on a guy who's Maori-ish, Kai Kara France. So that's a flyweight fight. So those oaks will be. Okay. Those will be pretty small, but fiery.
By the way, I see that Slippery Pickle reckons if you just don't take a shit before the fight, you could go up a weight division. Is that true?
It's a very small margin. Also depends on your shit, I guess. I don't know what you're packing. I don't know how much fiber is in there to keep it all together. But it's a very hectic thing, and it becomes a massive factor in the sport because that's how people's careers are determined. You know, like, you could be really good at weight cuts and you can really get an advantage, or you're really bad at it, or you've got like a lot of muscle.
Oh, here we go.
Like water weight. Yeah, so flyweights. So in the men's UFCs, there isn't actually a straw weight. You'll get that in boxing, but flyweight is where it starts. So 56.7 kilograms. Yeah.
I didn't expect you to – I'm very impressed, but I didn't expect you to actually recite the number of pounds. What I was getting at is the list. So basically it goes, as you said, from flyweight, bantamweight, featherweight, lightweight.
Featherweight, so I missed that one.
Welterweight, middleweight, light heavyweight, and then heavyweight.
Yeah, so heavyweight, it's a cap. Like you can go into heavyweight fights, obviously with less weight. All of them you can go less weight, but that's not the idea. But the interesting thing about this is that a single fighter can be many of those things, mm-hmm. depending on how they conduct themselves. So to bring it down to home, Dricus du Plessis was a welterweight champion. He used to cut down to 77 kilograms.
Okay.
And he would look like death, and it was like his organs would have shut down if he kept doing that. But he could have done that. I mean, there are people of his frame that cut down. His natural fighting weight is middleweight, but when he's actually a human being, he can easily be a light heavyweight because he'll easily be in the mid-90s.
Sure.
So one guy can generally span three.
We should have machines in the gyms that tell you this rather than give you a number. They should say, oh, congratulations, you are now a heavyweight.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good thing. Forget about BMIs. Yeah. Let's all just like revert back to where we'd be in the UFC. So yeah, guys, that's this weekend. We've got two fantastic title fights. The thing about those smaller oaks is that because they're smaller and lighter, the pace of the fights is frenetic. It's crazy. It's like watching it's like watching car guards on meth. Whereas like with the heavyweights, it's a bit more sluggish. It's a bit more like, you know, oaks are stuck in the mud kind of thing, but they pack the big punch. So the light oaks, there can be lots of volume, lots of like less chance of a knockout. The bigger oaks with the haymakers lights out. So that'll be American time. So nice and early, 5 a.m. if you really love the UFC. So mostly we're looking at big rugby, box versus the bar bars, and we're looking at a bit of cricket if you like that on the side. And that is your sporting weekend, basically.
Magic. Thanks, Ben. That's a lot to look forward to. Okay, so there are a bunch of companies that want to chase Truecaller out of South Africa. I don't know if you use Truecaller on your phone. Sims, Ben, do you use it?
It's very useful.
I don't.
Mm.
So well, I don't answer phone calls. Unless it's your name, I'm not answering because it is some prick who wants to.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That's quite a good rule, actually. But there are lots of South African businesses who are urging the information regulator. You must know when businesses go to the regulator, that means they're doing something scurrilous, usually. Mm-hmm. When businesses all band together and they go, we're going to go and speak to the regulator, you know that that's like the kid on the playground who, instead of like following the rules and you've played a game and he's lost, then he says, I'm going to go and tell the headmaster. You know, that's what they kind of... You're already suspicious. Anyway, they went to the information regulator to investigate Truecaller, accusing it of harming their operations by flagging numbers as spam and charging high fees for whitelisting, up to 590 Rand a month for 5,000 calls. Legal experts also argue the app may violate South Africa. Oh, don't get the lawyers involved. They'll find some way to make money out of you and for you to end up paying a huge amount to someone else to get it sorted. That's what lawyers are there for. They're there to break rules and find ways to make it sound like it's legal. While Truecaller denies wrongdoing and says users control contact sharing, critics claim it amounts to data exploitation. The broader issue, however, is that rising spam has already eroded public trust in voice calls. Hence Ben and many other people saying, I don't answer unknown numbers. Let me tell you, out of all the calls I get that aren't from a number that I already have on my phone, out of all of those, I would say 80 to 90% of them are spam. It's people, we want to sell you insurance, or have you heard of this product, or we want to reward you from blah, 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 financial services. And I go, I'm not with financial services, blah, 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 that you just mentioned. And they go, oh, no, but we would love to send you a free gift or whatever. You've heard these ones, right? And then they're the ones who call you with... We're from Easy Debt Solutions or something. And you're like, I don't need you. I don't want to talk to you. Thank you very much. Don't call me. And believe it or not, they call the next week again. So someone is giving out our numbers. And that is clearly a breach of Poppy, right? Otherwise, why do we have the Protection of Personal Information Act? If people have your phone number, people have access to financial information about you, perhaps, and they call you the whole time. Surely that's the infringement, not Truecaller? I think that these businesses that cold call people ought to be ashamed of themselves. They are taking up valuable time. They always call when you're busy with something. You're in a meeting, you're driving the car, something's happening, and you get a call from an unknown number, and that's when they get you. Now, I jokingly said, because I went to an event on Wednesday with some friends of ours, and I said to the people that, you can sometimes answer and go, what are you wearing, or you play like animals attacking you and screaming and that kind of noise. And then you scream and you say, oh, my God, call the police, call it. Then they'll never call you again. But, that's only if you've got the time to actually work that out. Most of it is just really, really fucking annoying.
So I have this like kind of double-edged sword on that, right? Mm-hmm. These people are phoning you. It's invasive. It's shit. But the person on the other side of the line is trying to make however money to go and feed their family. They need a job.
Sure.
So it's not their fault, okay?
Sure.
I totally get that. But at the same time, it is invasive and it's annoying. So I would love to do those kind of things, like become inappropriate and start saying, so what are you wearing? Like,
no.
But like I might as well get something out of this, right? Whatever they're trying to push you, I don't want. So then I'm thinking, is there humor? Is there a chance of being funny around this? And then I think, no, but that person's not in on the joke here. It's all about you.
No, because isn't the issue with like those type of calls is that the longer they are on the call, the I think on their system, it's going to reflect like, oh, you were on a call for like 3 minutes or whatnot, why didn't you clinch a sale, which is problematic, as opposed to you saying, I'm not interested within the first 30 seconds, and then they can see that, ah, that was a...
Yeah, but I'm just tired of having to do that all the time. So the way my brain works is that I want to have fun with this now.
I'm going to make it a problem for somebody else.
Carl DeSantos has a potential solution here. He's created a contact on his phone for this. He says every time he gets a spam call, he adds that number to the contact so that I don't answer it. So you could create like asshole as a contact on your phone, right? And then you could put every time any number calls that is not a number you want, then you add it to that contact and then he shares it with his friends so everyone can avoid them. I think that's fantastic, Carl.
Okay.
You know what, Carl? You've just my morning. I'm going to start adding those numbers. I'm going to create a contact right now. Fucking asshole. Okay? Here we go. And I'm going to add every time anyone calls me. There we go. Fucking asshole. Surname? Asshole. Okay, and then I'm just going to add this to everyone who calls me. There you go. Look. Wow. See? Fucking asshole.
Yeah. Okay. See, I want to fight things I don't like. So the fact that these calls keep coming, I want to fight them, but you can't fight them because you're fighting against thunder here. They're endless. They'll never go away.
That's true.
Yonder says these cold calling people are getting out of hand. I was away in Egypt last week and my network didn't work as it was jammed and I had peace. I landed and literally had five minutes after my phone switched on, there was spam. See, this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. And they don't realize I don't know how many people have actually got business out of cold calling. Like, I don't think it works anymore. It might have worked once. And I know there are these farms of people who sit there at the phone. And Ben, you're right. These people are just being paid to phone people. They're trying to earn a living. They probably hate their jobs. I mean, I can't imagine a worse job than that. But I don't know if any business actually ensues. I mean, it must still be working. There must still be people who answer it and go, yes, tell me about your product. Otherwise, they would have stopped, surely.
Especially with the internet being what it is. If I need anything in this world, it's not hard for me to get information and get whatever I need. Yeah. I will do that. It's not hard. Someone phones me out of the blue and I go, shit, I never thought of this. Wow, you sell insurance? There was always this nagging sensation that this someone could cover me financially for like an accident or loss of income. Wow, and here you are. This is destiny. Let's actually meet up. Drop the phone right now. Meet me here. Let's go for lunch.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay, I'm just adding some numbers to fucking asshole here, actually.
Oh, you are right at work with it.
How many numbers can you add to one contact, though?
Quite a few. I'll tell you once you've reached your limit, but quite a few.
And you just don't answer numbers.
Then you open up fucking asshole 2 and 3 and 4. And you keep going, right?
You're making so much work, which is fine if you're Carl and you got no friends. But Gareth, this is way too much work.
I don't know. Come up on my phone. I want to see that name come up on my phone and know I can avoid it. That's kind of what I want. And I do
you know
think
people are going to side eye you and like. It rings.
Yeah. I don't care about that.
Yeah, well, then also just get Truecaller because then it just tells you your screen goes red and it's like, it's bad.
Yeah. I think Truecaller is terrific and I have it on my phone. I use it. It works pretty well. I think these businesses that are trying to take Truecaller to the regulator are the problem. We should know who those businesses are and they should be on like the skids. They should all run out of work. They should all run out of business. Those people who work for them must go and find other work where the people won't hate them and everyone will be happier. They should shut down. That's what I think.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's fair. All right. That's not even controversial.
See? There we go. So we're all agreed. We can move on.
Yes. Okay, we just need to respect each other more in life. I don't need your phone call. Respect me. I'm trying to do my own thing. I've got my own challenges. I'm also like how about unless. You know, it actually be kind of funny. It's like if they all started out in like, this is mental health awareness week.
Gosh.
I'm checking in with you, but also, do you have a funeral policy?
As part of your mental to make sure you're all good.
Just checking in with you. It's okay to not be okay. It's not okay not to have insurance.
Pua, I've found a game show that I think we must revive. This was apparently a real game show in Britain in the 80s.
Okay.
There's a woman, and it's called Find Your Baby and Win a New Car. So what they do is they have like a, I suppose it's almost like a pool. There it is. You can see it. Like an inflatable pool or a lattice pool or something.
And are those real babies?
Yeah, that's AI.
They're real babies, and she has to find her baby. In the bed, and
keen.
Then she wins that beautiful Toyota Corolla or Cressida or something.
It's a sporty car for back then.
Same, yeah.
I think so. And she has to find her baby, and that's Mary, obviously, in the middle, and then win a new car. So I thought that could be a fun game we could relaunch. What do you think?
I'm for it. I'm for it. Yeah. I'm not going to say no to a free car, some money. Like, tell me what the prize is. And I'm definitely there. I'm definitely doing it. Like, that's such a vibe. Like, the 80s were unhinged, hey? There's a deco show that I've been seeing. How, like, these ladies were decorating ladies' houses or redecorating people's houses on a budget.
I think I've seen the same one.
And then they're like, you need a carpet. They paint like the carpet because they're redecorating your room and it's all bright. And they're like, for $5, we painted a carpet instead of just buying a carpet. And it's like the border is like red and then inside it's green. And the 80s are unhinged, just like completely unhinged.
So I agree. I would like to have the 80s back sometimes. Ben and I both follow an account called, 80s television something?
Yeah. The screens, new screens and things. It was a
and
very simple
got,
time.
Like, Tom Plummer or has a moustache. Deborah has a moustache. It's really good.
Yeah, because like in the 80s as well, like because there wasn't internet, you had to go connect the dots for people.
Yes.
So like news networks and reporters, they were everything. Like breaking news. Like someone's there. Like, otherwise, you'll never know. There was only like one camera in the whole town.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw this, but there's an actual headline in Canada. We always think that, you know, Eskom is our misery and it's the reason that we never have electricity. But even in places like Canada, this is the Vancouver News reporting a single beaver caused mass internet and cell service outages in northern BC. But I love the comment that was posted just above that because it's single beaver. Someone says, I fail to see how his relationship status is of any relevance.
Like reading is an art, guys.
And then I don't know if you saw this, but we always joke about how, you know, there's fake news and South Africa's got a lot of fake news publications. Well, News 24 did a survey and then found themselves to be the most trusted news service. So they published on their site that they are the most trusted news service.
And that's not sketchy at all.
No.
But
according to – you go on.
Sorry, but what if they are because everyone else is just so shit? That's also an aspect here that I find quite funny.
Well,
the bar is so low, right?
They got an 81% rating from their own – I think from their own – it's Reuters Institute of Digital News. So, I mean, these guys are all in cahoots. You don't know who to believe.
Sure.
But the worst ranked one was the Daily Sun, which I take exception to.
That's probably,
that's the only paper I read. Simply.
You're reading about this is why you got ChatGPT to generate a tokolosh because here busy reading Daily Sun. That's Daily Sun. Daily Sun is only good for those type of stories. Like the headline would be something crazy about like how millions went missing because this guy was doing something mysterious and a snake was found under the bed. And it's like, wait, what?
No.
That's the headline.
Why do you think I'm always on top of stories about Gogo Maweni and Gogo Skoteni? Because I read the Daily Sun. That's where I get my information. Come on.
No.
There they are. Look at that. News 24 ranks itself as the most trustworthy. Anyway, I mean... look how bad it is for Eyewitness News. They're down at 57%. IOL which is run by Iqbal Serv, that's at 56%. I mean, Eyewitness News is only 1% better than that. That's terrible. Daily Maverick down at 63.
It's 2% better than Daily Sun. Like if you are the editor of that place.
What do you mean? What do you mean we only won by 2% over Daily Sun? Guys. Yeah, I shall.
Daily Sun. That's so true. All right, and then
I want you to over this, over 50%. That's over a pass mark.
No, it's ludicrous. I want you to watch this. We've got some very talented people at the Real Network, and Tian has been working on generating like AI advertisements for brands, which are unbelievable. But he showed me this video of like a guy walking through a forest, and I said to him, "Nah, that's kind of boring. Can you go back and do it again? But this time, I want you to." Put a zombie in. And then he did. Have you got the zombie video, James, to show everybody? I mean, he did this in like seconds. Just watch this. Incredible.
That has killed. Okay.
Now, I think, I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty wild, right? I mean, is there
that,
no actors.
Is that AI or is that someone arriving with a chocolate at the actual Real Network Studios?
No, it's AI.
I couldn't see the difference, personally.
There are no actors involved. We didn't have to hire a studio for it. We didn't have to put in fancy lighting. We didn't have to go to a forest and set this up, buy stock footage. We didn't have to make up and dress actors in zombie outfits. I mean, that's all just AI, which is unbelievable. I've got very exciting news on that front. We are going to launch a new season of Blind History in July, I think. No, August. We'll do the first episode in July, so we'll probably launch it in August. Very excited about that. A new season of Blind History with me and Anthony Medera, as you've always had it before.
Yay.
And if you haven't heard of Blind History before, you need to go and look at those episodes. You can find them on whatever podcast service you use. They're all over the place. And we're gonna see if we can't do a video with it like that. I think it'll be quite fucking cool.
Well, are you noticing now another thing with AI and the trends is that they're reenacting parts of the Bible. So it'll be like, they're all over social media now.
It's so cool to see. And they do it like vlog style as well.
Exactly.
They'll do the whole like, subscribe, like, I love it. I think that one's dope.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. So there's a lot to look forward to. AI is changing everything. Some not for the better and some for the better.
But did you notice... Sorry, I'm going to look very critical eye to this kind of stuff. But you notice the guy with the backpack in the forest, how he was running? He was running like he didn't want his penis to fall out of his pants. Those were very measured strides.
Yeah. That's why they've still... So there's obviously still quite a lot they have to do to get it exactly right. But I'm amazed that took Tian like a couple of minutes and he generated that. He knows what prompts to put in. Did a bit of editing, but not a lot. And you kind of need an old skill set that knows what it's doing in terms of editing.
Is Tion an old skill set?
But you also need a new skill set.
He's human.
No, no,
what
you know
mean?
What I mean.
It's like, yeah, I know what you mean.
It's like a mixture of the skills that a traditional producer and editor would have used, mixed with the new skills that he's learned of being able to put the right prompts in, use the right image generator, make sure you get the right quality. And he talked about, like how, for example, there are different filters and grades that you have to put over it. That's the kind of thing that you honestly need to know your stuff for. So it's not as if anyone and everyone can do this. But it's incredible to see. All right. We got to wrap it up. Thank you very much.
Wait, one more thing, Gareth. One more thing.
Oh, yeah.
One more thing. There's a video. There's a guy on TikTok, right? And he basically does these videos where he turns bad Tinder conversations into songs.
Shit, yes.
And there's one song that has got the internet in a rattle. People have fallen in love with it. I think it's a great way to like start your weekend, like Tinder songs. And yeah, so James, play the video.
I love it. All right. We'll wrap it up with that. That sounds amazing. No, no, it does. It sounds very cool. So I'm looking forward to that. And I did promise that we would play it just before 7. So here we go. We'll get to that in a second. James, Flex, thanks for taking care of things in the studio. We will see you on Monday morning at 6 a.m. bright and early. Ciao, everybody.